Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We are about 13 hours away, Doran, from Steelers, Giants, and I'm giddy for this.
Me too.
I still love the Monday Night Football. It still gets my blood boiling, or pumping, or whatever that saying is. Gets me jacked up.
Right.
Sunday Night Football's fun. You're waiting all day for Sunday night. Carrie Underwood comes out there. But Monday Night Football, bum, 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 dun, 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 dun. And the Steelers have won 21 consecutive games at home on Monday Night Football. Bill Cowher never lost a home Monday Night Football game. Mike Tomlin has never lost a home Monday Night Football game. What do you make of that? I mean, is that coincidence? I think the sample size is so big, it can't be. Why are they so good in these moments?
I don't know. Maybe the prime time, I think people show up for these games, and I don't know. It is a great question because it has gone off for so long, so you can't just say that it's a fluke.
Yeah.
That this happened. There's clearly something that they do differently that makes them in the winning column and makes them their product a lot better on Monday night. But I expect that to continue tonight for sure.
I think so too.
Maybe it's the schedule.
Well,
do they schedule like big games for the Steelers on Monday?
Yeah. I mean, you're at home. And the Steelers have, that entire time, not really been bad. I mean, a year here and there. I mean, when you think about the 90s in particular, I guess a year here and there. But those teams were always pretty good, especially defensively. I mean, through the 2000s, they hadn't had a losing season since 2003. So you're at home and you're a pretty good team. But more often than not, to your point, yeah, you're playing pretty good teams.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are not that. And how about this? You like that, Doran. How about this? Daniel Jones, 0-7 on Monday Night Football, 1-14 in primetime games in his career. So you've got a really good Steelers team at 5-2. I think they're at least a really good team, taking on a not good team whose quarterback wilts in these moments in an organization that always seems to rise up in these moments. And it prompts me to do this. I'm sure this is going to land on everybody. They're going to be happy about this. Guarantee a win. I'm guaranteeing a Steelers victory. They're winning this game tonight. I'm not nervous about it at all. Not at all. Mike Tomlin historically good against NFC teams at home. I know there have been hiccups. They lost last year to Arizona. They lost a primetime game against Dallas this year. This Giants team doesn't have the star power that Cowboys team had, and they don't have Dak Prescott. And even that Arizona team last year, while they weren't good, when Kyler Murray came back, they were pesky. And they just won a game yesterday, did Arizona. I mean, that's not a great football team, but with Kyler Murray, they're dangerous. I don't look at this team and think they're dangerous at all. What, are you going to run Daniel Jones? Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
What way, outside of the Giants just being bad, if the Steelers win, why do you feel so confident that they're going to win, for the Steelers' perspective?
I don't think that Daniel Jones can throw the ball consistently enough to beat them. That's where the Steelers have been susceptible this year, is through the air defensively. Their offensive line is also really bad. Jones got sacked 9 times last week against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm.
9 times. And it ain't exactly the Eagles defense that had 70 sacks from a couple of years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. It's a good Eagles pass rush, but it's not great. Steelers pass rush now with Highsmith back, with TJ Watt back. They're going to want to run Daniel Jones. He has 50 attempts this year. They're going to do a ton of that. Okay, no one runs on the Steelers. You can throw on the Steelers. This guy can't because he's Daniel Jones, and he stinks. Now, Neighbors is good, and Darius Slayton I have a man crush on, but I just don't think they'll be able to move the ball through the air, and that's why I'm so confident. Vibe check. How are you feeling about Steelers-Giants? 412-928-9370. Let's take some calls on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I also think the Steelers, they need to win sexy. Like, the last 2 weeks, you put up over 30 points. There seems to be this snowball rolling downhill kind of feeling, Doran. And I'd like to see that continue going into the bye. Like, winning's important. Just ask Baltimore. They lost to Las Vegas. They lost yesterday to the Browns. And if it weren't sexy, but you win, they'd be sitting there at 6-2 right now, or 7-1 right now. So winning's the most important thing. But I want to see Russell Wilson take another step.
Yes.
I don't want three straight three and outs. I don't want him dirting a couple of balls. I want this thing to look flawless. What say you?
No, I'm with you. I think it goes through Russell Wilson. And I think that for his foundation of last week, he needs to start building that house and getting comfortable. And what he did last week was just, out of all the things he did well in knocking the rust off, I thought the best thing that he did was raise the level of play around him. And that was a big question for us for a long time. Can Russell Wilson do that with the talent that is around him without having a real number two receiver, a real number one receiver? That seemed to be the missing piece. But he, you know, Darnell Washington, and we've been through it so many times of how many, you know, guys had productive games. Like, can you do that again? And can you make it look a little bit different, though? Because you need to be able to win, as we say, in multiple ways, but you have to be able to win also on offense in multiple ways, even if it is the same, but has to look a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Russell Wilson has to take that step against another team that you should take that step. It should be a dominant performance. Mike Tomlin went to Russell Wilson because he knows that you can't win in the playoffs the way that they've won through the Justin Fields time at being quarterback. Now it's time to, hey, not only do we want Russell Wilson as our quarterback to win a certain way, but can we win dominant in a dominant fashion when we play bad football teams?
Mm.
If you play bad football teams and you whoop bad football teams, then you know that you're cooking.
Yes.
Then you know that you're really cooking. Then you know it's for real. Like, what you're doing is working, not just a fluke. Like last week could be a fluke. I mean, you play a bad Jets team. Are they bad? Well, they seemed like they were bad yesterday.
Right.
So if you beat a bad football team last week, you better beat a bad football team this week too. And then you know you have something going. I know it's not going to tell the biggest story, where it's like, okay, like if you beat a good football team, but if you whoop a bad football team like you're supposed to, you could still get a lot from that.
Absolutely. That's massive growth over where they've been the last few years. Now, even when they've beat these bad teams, we've come in here on Monday or whatever, the day following the game, saying, okay, they won, but dot, dot, dot. You don't really have that last week. And we did it a little bit the week before with the Raiders victory because it was so goofy looking. They put up all those points, but they had so many short fields and they didn't throw the ball all that well. But still, I watched that team, Las Vegas, go toe-to-toe for a while with Kansas City yesterday. The Jets, they are 2-6. We can't pretend on the Jets anymore. That's a bad, dysfunctional football team. But you know what? You scored 30-some consecutive points against them. So you did what you were supposed to do. I want to see it again. The one thing that gives me pause with the Giants, they're averaging 4.4 sacks a game. Like, they do have maybe the best pass rush in the NFL. And Mr. McCollum getting now, what, his second career NFL start,
yes,
going up against Dexter Lawrence, it's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a challenge. But if you can protect him and you can run the ball handling that guy, boy, that's a good look.
Yes.
And you're going to start feeling better about the Steelers' offensive line. Zach Frazier should be back after the bye week. And now you've got quality depth.
Right.
Because guys have come in and played that you didn't necessarily think you were going to have to count on, and you have counted on them, and they've actually played good football. All right, vibe check. How you feeling about Steelers-Giants Monday Night Football? Bum, 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 bum. Dun, 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 dun. Give us a ring, 412-928-9370. You can also text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Doran, I wonder if you agree with what Bart Scott had to say about the Steelers' offense with Russell Wilson. Here's what he had to say. Quote, Steelers' offense is football for dummies. I mean, that stuff I saw from Russell Wilson, they can crown him and say he looks good. A decent defense that sees how they're using him. I watched that. I thought I was watching football for dummies. Like, that was a game plan I would have used back when I was coaching my son. End quote. Bart Scott.
Huh.
Former Raven and Jet.
Bart Scott hates the Steelers.
He does.
But he's not wrong, you know, in a way. I mean, they ran boots and waggles. You know, that's like 101. But it works. It works for the personnel that you have. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, sometimes you don't need to think outside the box to beat football teams, you know, to beat a team. And if you look at the offense, yeah, like, it looks different than the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Okay. That's what the Chiefs are good at. That's what the personnel and the talent that they have can do. But for what the Steelers need to do to win football games, it doesn't need to be rocket science 101 offense. They can beat teams with boots and waggles. And clearly it worked.
Yeah, and throwing the ball up to your best players.
All right. Sometimes it's just you don't have to outthink yourself.
I think we've been asking for some of the simple stuff the last few years. I mean, really going back to Randy Feitner and Matt Canada, like, get your best players the football. Let them work in space. If they got one-on-one coverage, throw it up to them. We saw Pat Freiermuth make a one-handed catch because it was a perfect touch pass from Russell Wilson, and then he did the rest. He's getting paid a lot of money to make that catch, so he makes it. George Pickens, he thinks of himself as a number one wide receiver. Russ, I think, clearly feels the same way. You're going to single him up one-on-one. I'm going to get him the football. Oh, you're not going to put Sauce Gardner on him? I'm going to get it to him.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. So I think there's some sour grapes coming from Bart Scott. That's just the kind of guy he is and the kind of analyst he is, and he feels bad because his Jets are sitting there at 2-6 in a total disaster.
Uh-huh.
But if Russell Wilson doesn't take those shots in one-on-one coverage, then what are we saying about him? I put it all on the Jets, frankly. The Jets never adjusted.
Right.
The Jets kept doing the same thing over and over again and expecting it not to work out. Well, guess what? That's not how it goes. Okay, Sauce Gardner is a good player. Maybe put him on Pickens the whole time. They didn't. Maybe double cover George Pickens. They didn't. Bart Scott should be bitching, moaning, complaining more about his Jets defense than about the way the Steelers took advantage of said defense. They're going to get different looks moving forward. Okay, I think it was quite obvious eventually what the Steelers were going to do. They're going to see defenses that prepare differently now. I get it. I also think they're going to adjust.
Yes.
I think Russell Wilson's going to take what's given. I think that's the beauty of him. He doesn't need to be perfect. He's not the guy he was 6 years ago. But mentally, he's as good now as he ever was. He knows what to get into, what
to
get out of.
No doubt.
So I kind of that landed on me in a weird way. Bart Scott. Like Raven, Jet.
Oh, he does it all the time.
Elementary. Yeah, he does.
He does it all the time.
I don't think he's like super far off in his analysis, but that's what you needed to do to score 37 points.
Right.
So at a certain point, that's not on the Steelers for having some rudimentary game plan or scheme. It's on the Jets for you should know what's coming and you can't stop it.
Yeah, what's it say more about? It says more about the Jets not being able to stop that elementary school offense.
Yes.
Ben. If that's what you want to call it.
Right.
They couldn't stop it. They scored 37 points. What are you talking about?
Right. If it's a roll the ball out their offense and we're just going to, we're going to do six things. Okay, you better get a beat on it.
Right.
Because if you don't, it says a lot more about you than it does the Steelers. It was also Russ's first game. And that's why I do think this game, apart from just winning it, is important. You want to see the growth of Russell Wilson. You want to see what it looks like now in the second week. There's no quarterback looking over his shoulder either. Justin Fields, he's got the hamstring. He's not going to be available in this football game. So it's going to be Kyle Allen. There's nobody in the crowd's going to be booing. Nobody's going to be chanting for Justin Fields. And I kind of think, oddly, that spurred Russell Wilson on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he said so much, too.
Yeah, it fueled him, for sure.
Like, oh, you're going to boo me?
Yeah, backs against the wall type deal, for sure.
I want to see a fast start. Like, they haven't really had a fast start all year offensively. Justin Fields was leading the Steelers to just over 6 points per first half. Russell Wilson and the Steelers scored 13 against the Jets. Wouldn't have if not for the beanie pick. It looked like the game might actually get away from them a little bit there. And they were able to score 13 points. Can you go out there and get a lead? You get a lead against the Giants with Daniel Jones.
It's over.
It's over. And Cam Hayward, TJ Watt were talking about how they wanted to get back on the football field late in the game. Steelers go down. They score with 30-some seconds left. They wanted the Jets, to get another shot so they could pin their ears back. We haven't seen that in years. You get a lead against this team, like, they want to run Daniel Jones. They want to run the football. They gave up 9 sacks last week. If you get out 14-0, 13-0, 17-0 like the Colts did, you're going to win the game. You're going to score 40.
Yep.
Because they can't protect that guy.
You need to, too.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. That's the next step for the Steelers.
Is full 60-minute kind of beatdown.
Yes. Start fast. Get up early. Let the defense pin their ears back. Score 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's what needs to happen.
If that happens, we'll have nothing to complain about tomorrow and for 2 weeks going into a bye.
Yep.
And This is what good teams do.
Exactly.
Look at what the Lions just did. The Eagles, I think, are warming to the task. They've won two games in convincing fashion now. The one prior to the Cincinnati was against these New York Giants. Leave no doubt that you're the much better football team. Texter, Crowley, did you wish Dorn a happy National Tight End Day?
You didn't.
Happy National Tight End Day.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yep.
You know what else was yesterday?
What?
My birthday.
That's right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
34.
34 years old.
That's right.
Forgot about that. Jeez.
People texting you, happy National Tight End Day. What about my birthday? It was my kid's birthday party day, and my wife didn't wish me happy birthday until it was like, I mean, it was early, but we wake up early because of the kids. We got about 6, hanging out, not wishing me happy
Nothing.
Birthday.
You're waiting.
Then my phone keeps buzzing. And she's like, why is everyone, what's your phone buzzing for? Like, who's up at this hour? Oh, I don't know. Just people who love me.
You're over there waiting like, oh, is she going to say it? She's not. Well, 6:30, 6:45.
And you know what? As a man in a long-term relationship, was I offended? Absolutely not. Couldn't. I really don't care about my birthday. Right. Who cares? I'm 34. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. 40 maybe. Okay, mm-hmm. 50 maybe if we get there, knock on wood. Knock on for Micah, whatever. I wanted it to go long, because then you put that arrow in your quiver.
Oh, yeah.
And you always got that.
Oh, yeah.
You're always looking for munitions.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, oh, you didn't take out the trash. Yeah, well, remember that time you forgot my birthday?
Remember the time you told me happy birthday at 12?
Yeah. My mommy wished me a happy birthday first. The kid, what happened was the phone's buzzing, then my daughter comes in, and it's her party. Happy birthday, Dad. She knew, but the wife didn't know.
Couldn't care less.
But happy National Tight End Day. I didn't really know it was such a thing.
Yeah, yesterday. Hmm. They talked about it on every single broadcast.
Yeah, I did know. But I wasn't going to text you because I was waiting for a birthday text.
You were waiting for me to text you. I knew that. See, then it makes sense now.
Cal still hasn't wished me a happy birthday. How rude. Texter, hey, Dorn, D-O-R-N. You get that Fitzgerald bobblehead signed? Hashtag H2P, hashtag Ron Cook sucks.
Oh, jeez.
Hashtag Jason White. Did the bobbleheads look like Larry Fitz in a way that the statue did not look like Dwayne Wade?
It looked a lot like Larry Fitz in college. It looked a lot better than Dwayne Wade. It looked pretty good. It looked like Larry in college.
I saw a ton on TV, a ton of Larry Fitzgerald jerseys, mm-hmm. Larry Fitzgerald shirts. I hope it got the youngsters to go back in time.
It did. Yeah. I think so. I think it did. I was talking to a dad at my kid's game this weekend, and one of the coach's sons, he's 8 years old. He has a Larry Fitzgerald jersey, and I guess he didn't want to wear it because he's like, oh, this guy's not playing. Like, and the dad was like, he's one of the best receivers ever.
Ever.
And then he got to watch the game and see Larry, and they showed all the clips and stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wear that jersey. So an 8 year old was like, yeah, I don't really know who this guy is. I just have this number one Pitt jersey. I don't know if I want to wear it because he's not playing. But, oh, wait, yeah, he actually was one of the best players ever.
So they did the big highlight montage kind of deal. Among the best collegiate highlights ever. Well, NFL, too, but one of the best college football highlight reels, regardless of position, that you're ever going to see.
Yes.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes, the types of catches.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it just unbelievable.
There are kids now that were in the student section. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
None of them were.
That weren't alive? None of them were.
None of them.
What is it, 2024?
He was 2003.
21 years. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Get a little edumacation, kids.
Yes.
All right, speaking of wide receivers, the wide receiver pool from which to pull from seems to be dwindling by the day. The Steelers are involved in trade talks. They're trying to bring a wide receiver in here. But it's slim pickings. We'll tell you why. We'll get to that next.
I just think Cooper Kupp, he's a little older. Is he really going to improve our passing game that much? And I don't know if he really will. I still think we have some guys, either Freiermuth, can get more involved in the game. And we have, you know, Van Jefferson. You saw some balls that were thrown, to Calvin Austin that, you know, weeks coming up, you'll see him more involved. Balls that were thrown the dirt, balls early that could have gone in for some good yardage. And so with Cooper Kupp being coming in here, I mean, there's only so many football. Sometimes when you trade for another guy, an older guy who's been injured, I mean, look at Ayuk. You have young guys that, you know, stunt their development. And I just think that, to me, I would rather just stay pat. And it's not always better to trade for someone when you got a lot of talent in that room that just has not been tapped. But I don't think the cupboard's bare. Talk about cupboard bare. There's a lot of teams that would love to have the wide receiving core that the Steelers have.
Chris Hoke, a lot of teams that would like to have the wide receiving core the Steelers have. I can think of one team, the Chargers.
Yes.
Because they don't have George Pickens.
Right.
And George Pickens is good.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. When his head is screwed on straight, when he's getting the football, he's good. They need a wide receiver, Doran.
Yes.
They need one.
Yes.
I changed my opinion, by the way. I did that thing.
About what?
About Cooper Kupp. I spent half of Friday's show talking about how, yeah, I'd trade a second-round pick for him. Problem is, they're right in the thick of things.
Yeah, they're not trading him, no.
They're not going to trade him.
No.
So that's one guy you can cross off, even though, according to a couple of national reports this weekend, the Steelers had been in talks with the Rams about Cooper Kupp, but they're right there in that division. I mean, the Seahawks got blown out yesterday, which, frankly, I didn't see coming. That's a tough place to play. The 49ers won, but they're at 4-4, and they're all banged up. So if I'm the Rams, I'm holding on to Cooper Kupp.
Yes.
And they play Seattle maybe Thursday, but they definitely play Seattle this week. So even if they lose, I mean, you're still in it, but if you win, you're definitely in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not trading him. Christian Kirk, find this out yesterday, he's out for the season with a broken collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a guy off the list. I've been talking about Darius Slayton a ton. We had a Giants beat writer on Friday, Doran, who said that Darius Slayton is a really good route runner, a guy who takes the top off the defense, has been really consistent with bad quarterback play. His only issue is from time to time has drops. And who's that remind you of?
Deontay Johnson.
That's exactly right. I would take him in a second.
Yeah. He's like the only one left, though, right?
Jacoby Myers, I guess, is getting tossed around. He's been okay. 31 catches, 325 yards, 10.5 yards a catch, couple of touchdowns. I mean, I would take him. I'd absolutely take him. I feel like they're going to get a guy. I feel like most of the wide receiver needy teams in the NFL already got their guys. But you read that the Bills are interested in Cooper Kupp and had dialogue about Cooper Kupp. And if they're still in it, they're obviously aggressive. They feel like they're a Super Bowl contender. I had thought, okay, they get Amari Cooper. The Chiefs get DeAndre Hopkins. The Jets got Devontae Adams. All the wide receiver needy teams seem to have picked up their guys, apart from the Chargers. So I thought it's the Steelers and maybe another team or two. I guess the Bills are back in the conversation.
Again.
Huh. Get another guy. Why not?
Man.
But there's still more available wide receivers than there should be teams. I mean, Myers, the Christian Kirk thing stinks because I think he fit the bill.
Absolutely.
Darius Slayton, I think, fits. And you're going to get a firsthand look at him this week. It's three consecutive weeks now where you got to look at one of these guys. Is Devonta Adams, although I guess he was off the board at that point. Just go get a guy.
Yeah, we'll see how it looks tonight. I think that they absolutely need somebody. But like we were saying before, like a couple of segments ago, like can Russell Wilson take them to an even bigger level than he did last week? The receiving core, the guys around him. Can Calvin Austin III be a bigger part of the game plan and actually be effective in the game plan? Like, if you can get that out of Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin, you probably are okay with where you're at. I'm just trying to think that in the Steelers' mind. It's like, do we want to give up assets for a guy just to bring him in to be a part of this core?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we feel that there's somebody out there that could actually be a big-time player? Like, I think that where you're picking from right now with the players that are left, they would just be a part of the receiving group. And they would be an asset of the group, not just like an asset of a threat.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp's a different conversation.
He's a threat.
Yes. Yes. And he looked pretty good the other night.
Yeah.
which sucks because now you can't have him. I want what I can't have. Can't have that guy. They're not going to trade that guy. The only way they do is if you give up a second now, I would think, and say you don't have to eat any of the salary. But even then, how do you tell Matt Stafford we're trading Cooper Kupp?
No, not whenever you're in the thick of things.
And Puka Nacua just came back. Like, it's a totally different team than it was before. So I don't see that happening. I think Slayton's a significant upgrade. I will partially agree with what Chris Hoke had to say. Like, you've got untapped potential there. I don't think Van Jefferson's a great player. Nobody does. But he's better than what he was with Justin Fields, and he caught a touchdown last week. I definitely see what you're saying about Calvin Austin III. You can get more out of these guys and still realize you're left wanting more.
Yeah.
And I'll partially agree with Bart Scott. Hey, the Steelers were doing some simple things, but very effectively. Teams are going to change their game plans. But if you add another guy...
Oh.
Because you're just going to start seeing teams invite you to run, and they're going to double cover Pickens.
Yes.
Like, that's going to happen. It's probably going to happen tonight.
Yes.
Even though the Giants' secondary's not good, but they know that. They're going to throw an extra guy over there. If you have a Darius Slayton, who's a third down guy for you, a possession guy for you, who also has speed to burn over the top, I think it changes everything. And that's what you need to do. The Steelers are positioned to contend in the AFC. I'm not saying, please, people, don't kill me here. I'm not saying they're better than the Chiefs, but every time you watch the Chiefs, you go, like, come on now.
Right.
Like, where are these? The Steelers are averaging more points a game than the Chiefs are. But to win against the Chiefs when it matters, you need to score. And same with Baltimore, same with Buffalo, same with Houston. And they won yesterday. They're not 100%. You need to be able to put up points. And I think they're in a position where they can score more than they've scored just organically now because the quarterback's better. And because your running back's running like a maniac. But to become a legitimate AFC threat, you got to get a guy. 412-928-9370. We'd love you to call. We'd love your thoughts on that. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we come back. The Steelers' need for a wide receiver. Who else might be out there? And then at the top of the hour, odds and ends.
Yeah, baby.
As we break down Steelers-Giants in a way that no one else can. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Caboli going to be joining us in an hour and 10 minutes on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Do the Steelers need another wide receiver, and are there any receivers available that tickle your fancy? Christian Kirk now out for the season. It seems like Cooper Kupp is off the market, and now you're basically at Goodwill. You're just sticking your hands in the bin, and you're just hoping you don't come out with, like, I don't know, rubella or some terrible disease.
Yep.
I always want to douse myself in hand sanitizer after I leave Goodwill.
Well, why do you go to Goodwill?
Because things are cheap.
Mm.
You can get some good, like, vintage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like an old Larry Fitzgerald jersey, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
From, like, Stephen Barry's.
Yeah.
Where it's just, hey, it's the Pitt colors, and there's a number on the back, but Pitt never wore those uniforms.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. 412-928-9370 is the number. I watched that whole Bengals game yesterday, right? And you see what the value of a good number two means. So they lose 37-17. I think all of us would agree Joe Burrow better than Russell Wilson. I think all of us would agree Ja'Marr Chase better than George Pickens. Well, T. Higgins was out, didn't play. And what's it look like? 9 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown for Ja'Marr Chase, which, still a nice day, but that's not Ja'Marr Chase numbers.
No.
Why? Because you get to key in on that guy.
And you lose.
And you lose. And so, you think about that, that's what teams can do to George Pickens. Now, the Jets couldn't. Jets suck. I want to get into the Jets later on when we go around the NFL, but they just allowed the Steelers to take deep shot after deep shot. Single coverage. That's not going to be the way it goes going forward. So you got to get a guy. 412-928-9370. Paul in the car says he's got a trade proposal. I love it. I love it already, Paul. What do you got?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So my trade, one player for one player. The Vikings just lost Christian Darrisaw for the year. My trade is Jordan Addison for Broderick Jones.
Who's playing right tackle then?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But Roderick Jones is on the left side. That's where Minnesota needs it. And obviously it would
Well, he plays on the right side, and they should have been playing him on the left side, and Dan Moore should probably be on the right side, but Dan Moore's played well. Yeah, I think this offseason, there might be a good chance that they pay Dan Moore and try to flip Roderick Jones.
Yeah.
They love Troy Faltanu.
Right.
He's kind of the odd man out. Well.
Yeah, he's the odd man out.
Look, I'm not saying this is what I would do, and you allow for the opportunity for players to get better. But if Broderick Jones continues to play the way he has this season, and he looks like he has regressed, and he's playing the same position he played last year, like he can't be an excuse anymore, you might be dumb to hold on to him and to lose Dan Moore. Dan's going to make a sizable chunk of change. I don't think he's going to be among the highest paid left tackles in football, but the way he's played, he's going to get paid. If Broderick Jones keeps sucking and you let that guy go and then he continues to stink, that's bad business.
Yeah.
He might be a bad draft pick. It's still early. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Not yet. But if he keeps stinking, it's something you at least got to keep in mind.
I just don't see where he fits in if you end up paying Dan Moore Jr.
Right.
Just doesn't fit in. But you want him to be a swing tackle, a first round top 15 pick swing tackle? That doesn't jive.
No. Now you do have to be patient because this is somebody who you figure would take some time. What hurts is you could say they've screwed with him. He's playing the same position that he played fairly well last year, and he's playing it at a much lower level. So I don't want to hear any more excuses about Broderick Jones. And they've had their issues. Dotson goes off and plays better elsewhere. Okay, but then they've developed Dan Moore. So you've seen it kind of happen both ways. There's no excuses for Broderick. He needs to be better. And if he's not, then they have a decision to make come the end of the year. But we're talking about Monday Night Football, and you're 5-2 first place Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're going to break it down the way we always do before a big game, Dorn. With odds and ends.
Yes.
That's next. First, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 66.